Good morning, and welcome to our worship service today. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great privilege of coming here to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we ask you to direct our hearts and minds so that our worship truly comes from our heart, that we give praise to your holy name. We pray that our worship will be pleasing to you through Jesus Christ, who's cleansed us from all sin. We pray that you would fill us with the only true wisdom, the wisdom of your salvation, Christ crucified for us. We ask these things in his name. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for today is Father Most Holy. I invite you to stand for the last verse. I invite you to follow our order of service that's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin on the middle of page 2. We begin this worship service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who hast given thine only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins. And by thy Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of thee and of thy will and true obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy upon us and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on Jesus, he gives the power to become the very sons of God and has promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Amen. Lord be with you. We pray. Almighty eternal God, in the word of your apostles and prophets, you have proclaimed to us your saving will. Grant us faith to believe your promises, that we may receive eternal salvation. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Our first reading for this Sunday being Father's Day, our readings and our sermon text will reflect a message to and about fathers. And of course, one of the things that we look to and we think about when we think of Father's Day is our Heavenly Father. His example is used here for us as fathers, that even though our own fathers. We're not perfect. We still listen to them and accepted their discipline, so we can do the same for our perfect Heavenly Father when He disciplines us. Words from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 13. Have you also forgotten the encouragement that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard the Lord's discipline lightly, and do not become weary of His correction. For the Lord disciplines the one whom He loves, and He corrects every son He accepts. Endure suffering as discipline. God is dealing with you as sons. Is there a son whose father does not discipline him? If you are not disciplined, and all of us have received it, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. In addition, we have earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Should we not submit even more to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while according to what seemed best to them, but God disciplines us for our good, so that we may have a share in His holiness. No discipline seems pleasant when it's happening, but painful. Yet later it yields a peaceful harvest of righteousness for those who have been trained by it. Therefore strengthen your weak hands and feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Alleluia. Gospel reading for today is from Matthew chapter 6. We'll read verses 5 through 13. Glory be to Thee, O Lord. These words from Matthew are Jesus telling us how to pray, and He gives us in these verses Matthew's account of the Lord's Prayer, which we address God as our Father. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Here ends our gospel reading. Praise be to Thee, O Christ. Please rise. Let's join now in confessing our faith in the one true triune God with the words of the Apostles' Creed on page 7. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We'll continue with our next hymn, What God Ordains is Always Good. Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed. The message for our sermon text today is a message from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, directed to fathers, but also has application to all of us. Words from Ephesians 6, 4 say, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. It's probably safe to say most men are used to getting to-do lists from their wives, and they're pretty used to getting them just about any day of the year except for one particular day. That is today, Father's Day, right? You can usually say, well, I'm not going to get a to-do list today. It's Father's Day. However, on this Father's Day, we have a list given to fathers, grandfathers, and fathers-to-be, a to-do list, not from our wives, but from God. This very short verse has a little to-do list that God gives to dads. And the first item on the list is actually a don't do. Paul begins this verse by saying, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger." That's the first item on the list. Do not provoke your children to anger. Now, it's true that sometimes when we discipline our children, they are going to become angry. It's just going to happen at times. And we'll talk about discipline a little later on in the sermon. But when we exasperate our children, when we provoke them to anger, we're talking about loveless, persistent, nagging criticism and punishment. That can cause them to become bitter, discouraged, and wanting to give up. It can cause our children to become depressed and tempted to be desperate and do hurtful and harmful things. Paul puts it this way in Colossians 3:21, a very similar verse to this one. He says, "Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged." Our model for this and for all of the fatherly duties Paul lists is, of course, God our Heavenly Father. Think of how God treats us. Our Heavenly Father does not lose patience with us. He does not provoke us to anger or exasperate us. He also didn't wait until we got things right or got our act together before He made us right with Him through the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. Nor does our Heavenly Father give up on us when we fail, and fail, and fail again. We're also told in Lamentations, "Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions, our Father's compassions, fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Men, and especially fathers and grandfathers who are here today, do we show this type of mercy, grace, and patience with our wife, with our children, and with our family? The second item on God's to-do list for dads in this verse is to provide nurture. Paul goes on to give a contrast in our text from what we're not supposed to do to what we are supposed to do. He says, "But bring them up." And the word that's used there literally means to nourish or feed. It's the same phrase that's used in Ephesians 5:29, referring to the husband's role of nourishing and caring for his wife. Obviously, in this verse here, we have a literal and physical sense being said. Bring them up physically, literally. But more importantly, there is a spiritual application. Bring them up spiritually. Men, we are called to nourish our wife, our children, by sharing love and encouragement from the Lord and His Word. Notice also what's implied by this instruction to bring them up. It says, we are to bring our children up. We're told to do this because they're not going to get there all by themselves. So, fathers, are you taking an active role in shaping the character and faith life of your children or your grandchildren? Remember the words of Proverbs. Proverbs 29:15 says, "A child left to himself brings shame to his mother." But Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." There was a 50-year study done with Christian and non-Christian families, and the study found some pretty shocking things. They found that most young adults who follow Jesus as they grow into adulthood either come from non-Christian homes or from homes where they grew up loving Jesus because their mom and their dad openly and actively showed their love for Jesus. Their parents' faith and their passion for Christ permeated their lives, and they passed it on naturally to their kids. Sadly, the study found that few believers came from homes where there was a kind of indifferent or apathetic commitment to Christ. That is a sobering and kind of shocking result, isn't it? It's sobering to think that, and it's also kind of frightening to think that the chances are better for a child growing up in a non-Christian home to become an active, faith-driven believer than for a child that grew up in a spiritually lukewarm environment. This should hit us then, and fathers, between the eyes. How are we doing on this one? How are we modeling our faith in Christ for our families? Is it clearly reflected in what we say and do? Do they see us consistently representing Jesus in our words and actions and sharing Him with our words and actions? Someone once said, "One way to correct your children is to correct the example you're setting for them." Are we providing a nurturing atmosphere in our home where our children can grow up to love and to serve Jesus? Are we looking for ways to tutor and teach our children? Or are we leaving this for someone else to handle? Maybe let the mom do it, or let's let our church do it, or let's let the teacher at school do it. Notice this passage makes it clear that parents, and it especially addresses fathers as the God-appointed head of the household, they have the first responsibility for the children's spiritual nourishment and feeding. It doesn't say, "Church, bring up this children in the training and admonition of the Lord." It says, "Fathers." And an implication there also is parents, mothers. One of the best things that we can give our children then in their lives, and you probably already know this, is our time. In many households, the mother is the one who spends the most time with children. And so in some senses, they bear a great responsibility in bringing up the children in a godly manner. However, even if that is the case in the house, it does not diminish or excuse the fathers from their responsibility of taking time with their children and taking the lead in making sure that above all, the children are brought up and nurtured spiritually. For a child, love is spelled T-I-M-E, time. I can remember from very little on, there was a plaque in our living room, very small plaque, but I remember reading it often as a child. And the little plaque read this: "The best thing a parent can spend on their children is their time." One pastor tells the story one night of when his son was very young. His son asked him to read a book before he was going to bed, and the book was too long to read in one sitting. So after reading two chapters, the dad puts the book down and says, "Well, maybe later we can find out what happens in the rest of the book." And the boy said, "Oh, Mom already read that book twice." Did the son really want a story from his dad, or did he want time with his dad? He'd heard the story before. He knew how it went. He especially wanted time with his dad. Kids crave and deserve our time and our attention. That being said, our children need more than just time with their fathers. They need what we might call spiritual quality time with us. What we do with our time with our children, in actuality, is in some ways more important than how much time we spend with our kids. That brings us to the final two duties on God's to-do list for dads, and that is train and instruct. Paul says in the second half of our verse, bring them up, and he's referring to your children there, in the training and instruction of the Lord. The Greek word there for training covers everything from positive instruction to discipline. In fact, there are Bible passages that use that exact word in those two different ways. For positive instruction, 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correction, and training in righteousness. There's that same word there. It also can be used for discipline. From our scripture reading earlier today from Hebrews chapter 12, that word is used in this verse, because the Lord disciplines those he loves and punishes every son, everyone he accepts as a son. The word discipline there is the same word for training. And the Greek word for instruction covers everything from teaching to warning. And again, we can find Bible passages that use that word in those multiple ways. From Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And then the use of that word as a warning, 1 Thessalonians 5:14. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. The point I'm making there is those two terms cover everything parents are to do as they nourish their children, especially spiritually. Training and instruction covers that whole gamut, from positive instruction to discipline and warning. God encourages parents and all believers to provide the training and instruction based on the Word of God. That's what it means to train and instruct in the Lord. That's an important part of the phrase from our passage today. It's rooted in God's Word. It follows the perfect example of our Heavenly Father. It's His kind of training, instruction, and love that we want to emulate and give to our children. In His training and instruction, the love and the positive elements prevail. Think of how He draws people to Himself, revealing Himself as our loving Heavenly Father who gives us His incredible grace, a word that means undeserved love. That love is unconditional, given to each one of us. But our perfect Heavenly Father also has to discipline us when He knows that that is going to help us and be what's truly best for us. He doesn't hold back from giving us tough love when it's needed, allowing some difficulties or pain in our lives to discipline us. We read that from our scripture reading from Hebrews chapter 12. He loves us far too much not to discipline us. In the book of Proverbs, God also makes it clear that we are to discipline our children if we truly do love them. There's that very famous passage in Hebrews, in Proverbs, that says, he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. God there is not obviously advocating for child abuse of any kind. Far from it. But God is advocating there for discipline. Again, remember the words of our scripture reading from Hebrews. No discipline seems pleasant when it's happening, but painful. Yet later it yields a peaceful harvest of righteousness for those who have been trained by it. That's why it is important to remember the distinction between discipline and punishment. The purpose of punishment is to inflict penalty. It often focuses on the past, on what was done. The purpose of discipline is love. It's to promote growth by correcting behavior and looking toward the future, taking a different path next time, doing something different the next time. If fathers and grandfathers, your children are looking to you to train them and love them, and they are looking for discipline from us. In God and His Word, Christian fathers and parents have the perfect example to follow in the training and instruction of their children. And thankfully for all of us, God provided more than just a perfect example of fatherhood or of parenthood. For even with His perfect example, we fail. We fail to be the men that God calls us to be, fail to be the fathers and grandfathers and husbands God calls us to be. We fail to be the wives and mothers and children that God calls us to be. But our Heavenly Father is so good that He didn't just set a perfect example. He sent His Son to live that perfect life in our place that we couldn't. Jesus was the perfect Son, the perfect brother to all of us. He's also the one who not only lived that perfect life in our place, but died to take away our sins and rose again to give us eternal life in heaven. He is the one who made us God's children in the first place. He also works in us with His Holy Spirit to help make us better fathers, better mothers, and better children. And so God has become more than just our Father to us in the sense that He created us and made all things. Paul speaks of this and alludes to this in Galatians when he says, "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father." If you don't know Aramaic, you might not realize that you're kind of repeating words there. Abba is the Aramaic word for father. It's been stated by some scholars that this seems to be a term of endearment. It's the phrase that Jesus used when He prayed to His Father in the Garden of Gethsemane. It seems to be a phrase of affection toward one's father. Father, Father, much like a child crying out to their dad, Daddy, Daddy. Because of His Son Jesus, because of the faith He's created in our hearts, God is more than just our Father. He is our dear Heavenly Father. As our perfect, loving Father in heaven, He hears all of our cries. He hears and answers when we cry out like little children to Him, and He answers in the best possible way, in the best possible time. Men, fathers, and grandfathers, what are our lives modeling for our children and for our grandchildren, for our families, and for our fellow Christians, our congregation members? Speaking for myself, I will say that there are few things more inspiring on earth than a strong but faithful, caring Christian man. And I've been very blessed in my life to have a number of strong, faithful Christian men with which I can model my life after. And I was given one in my father. I'll always be grateful for that. I'll probably never know just how much good that did for my life or how much his example kept me from doing some things that I really shouldn't have done or would have suffered some serious consequences for. Give your children, your grandchildren, the children in your life, the children of our congregation and school, that kind of example. With our Heavenly Father's help, we can. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. seated. If you have an offering to give to the Lord today, we invite you to do so by placing it in the offering plate in the entry of our church. We'll continue our service with our next hymn, O Christ, to our dear fathers give. Please rise. We bring our Father's Day prayer before our Father's throne. Is there any other prayer requests to add to the prayers today? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, you truly know what is best for us. You know our hearts and our lives in every detail. You understand our every need. Your wisdom directs us in the best possible way. Thank you for making us your sons and daughters through adoption by faith in Jesus. We thank you this day especially for having blessed our Christian homes with fathers who are willing to be your representatives and by word and example to share their love and joy in you with us so that we may have you as our Heavenly Father. Gracious God, our Father, grant people everywhere the blessing of a loving Father at home. In homes where fathers have neglected their duties or have been absent, help the children to persevere and to set their ideal for parenthood in your word. Dear Lord, we thank you for our fathers. Direct us to honor, to love, and respect them every day and every way. Keep all of our families in true faith in Jesus that we may spend eternity together in heaven. God our Father, we thank you for adopting us as children, making us heirs of heaven through faith in Jesus. As your dear children, we have the privilege of bringing our sins to you for full and free forgiveness, knowing that they've already been paid for by our Savior and brother, Jesus Christ. We are confident that whatever things we ask of you in Jesus' name, you will give us, and that as a kind and concerned Father, you will continue to bless us for your love's sake. We ask, therefore, that you listen to our troubles, that you bind up our many hurts. We ask you to share our burdens and cares, keep us from straying, and help us and heal us. Father, in your mercy, dispel our fears and chase away our worries and anxieties. How faithful you are to us. You've never betrayed our trust, yet we have often failed to trust you as we ought. For this sin, we also ask your forgiveness. Teach us that when we have you as our Heavenly Father and Jesus as our Savior from sin and your Holy Spirit as the giver and keeper of our faith, we have everything and we truly lack nothing. Through your Holy Spirit, give us a childlike faith, which does not doubt or hold back, but simply trusts you for everything. As your children, may we learn to do good to everyone, especially our fellow members of the household of faith. Teach us to recognize the needs of others, to be generous in sharing our goods with them. May we pray in their behalf and be quick in offering them our counsel and help. May our lives as your children be avenues to others for the tender mercies with which you rule all your works. And finally, dear Heavenly Father, send the word of Jesus into all the world, converting the hearts of people everywhere, adding brothers and sisters in the faith who with us will lift their voices in prayer and praise to you, our gracious God. Bestow your many and varied blessings upon this household of faith and teach us all to thank and praise you for them. We ask all these things as your dear children through your Son, Jesus Christ, who also taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. You may be seated. We close our service today with the hymn, Almighty Father, Bless the Word. I invite you to stand for the last verse. You may be seated. Good morning. A warm welcome to all of you. On behalf of myself, I'd like to wish a happy Father's Day to all of our fathers and grandfathers who are here today, and to any of our visitors, we welcome you and invite you to sign our guest book in the entryway. A few announcements for today and for this week. Following our service today, we'll meet as soon as possible in the Fellowship Hall for our annual voters meeting. That will take place as close to 11 o'clock as we can start it. I'll be heading to East Bay for our worship service in Hayward this afternoon at 1 p.m., Bible class at 2. Tomorrow I leave for our pastoral conference in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. That takes place this week. I'll also be there for some family time and some vacation, and then also for Michaela's wedding on July 4th. So I'll be returning again on July 6th. Mark Gullerud and Scott will be taking the service next week, and then Mark and Michael Slattengren will be doing the service on the 2nd. So we thank them for their service, for their good example of Christian fatherhood in taking the services while I'm away. If you'd like to renew your Lutheran Spokesman subscription or sign up for a new one, please do so today. I need to turn in those sheets this week to renew our congregation subscriptions. The Daily Rest subscription, there's one per household, so that's already renewed for you. If you'd like to donate to the subscriptions, those are $15 per year. We have a bit of a VBS update. I think I put the Spokesman subscriptions and the Daily Rest renewal subscriptions in there twice by accident, so you have that reminder twice in the bulletin. But the VBS update is this. We have 18 students signed up, which is great, given that we've been advertising for a while, but we started to get some responses kind of at the beginning of June, and we've had 14 non-members sign up in the last month or so. Previously, during the pandemic, we maybe had 9 to 12 students. So this is kind of back to the pre-pandemic levels where we were getting 20, 22 students. So pray the Lord that He brings us a few more. We still have some time between now and July 24th when VBS begins. And we are now especially grateful that we do have two teachers coming to assist us, because we're going to need their help with the children that the Lord's brought to us. So we praise God for that and pray for more students to register. Any other announcements today? Oh, yes. Michaela, go ahead. I saw your hand first. Okay. Barb.
Prayer for the pastor's conference and safe travel.
Okay. We'll do a prayer for that too. Let's join our hearts in prayer. Dear Jesus, please be with me and all of our pastors as we travel to Eau Claire this week for the pastoral conference. Please bless our study. Help us to learn from your word and to deepen our understanding of you, and help it to improve our ministries and revitalize and refresh us. Help us to return safely to our congregations, to serve you with improved zeal, and help us, Lord, to reflect your fatherly goodness and reflect our Savior, our Good Shepherd, in our work. We ask these things in your saving name. Amen. Thank you for remembering that. Yes, Terry.
I also have some presents for the fathers and little cross pads.
Thank you. Make sure to grab one on the way out. Thank you. Any other announcements today? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.